Hello, everybody, and welcome to the People Matters Radio Show. I'm your host, Esther Martinez. Thank you so much for joining us this afternoon. As you know, this is our fourth of the second season of Talking Matters Radio Show. We bring to you HR leaders that are transforming the face of HR with their work. Such a pleasure to bring them all to you live every month after month to learn about their journey, their reflection, and the message for our community. So before I introduce you to our guest for today, let me remind you that the show can also be followed on Twitter with the hashtag #TalkingMatters2. Please share your comments, post your questions, so we will be able to take them live on the show this afternoon. So today we have with us on the show Mr. S.B. Nathan. He is Senior Director and Chief Talent Officer, Deloitte India. For many of you, Nathan really needs no introduction. He's an XLRI pass out on 83 batch. He's grown within HR from manufacturing personnel to really leading different roles in telecom, IT, and today he leads HR for the Deloitte office in India. So as a person, all of us who've known Nathan, he is an approachable, humble, and generous professional. He's original in his thinking and he's inclusive in his action. So it's an absolute pleasure to welcome Nathan to the show. Welcome, Nathan. How are you feeling today?
Esther, thank you. I feel very, very happy and thank you for those very generous words.
You're most welcome. You're most welcome, Nathan. So remembering all our listeners to submit your questions on Twitter. We will not wait for the end of the show, so keep sending them on, and I will be taking them as we go through. So we'll start with the first question, Nathan, for you. We're all eagerly waiting to know a little more about your story and really about what are those things in your life that have made you the professional that you are today. For many of you also know that Nathan plays a very important role, not only in Deloitte, but also in the community of HR, and he's part of the executive team today of NHRD. And he's been playing a really, really active role to transform a lot of things. But we want to know a little bit, Nathan, about your early influences in life and things that, you know, you look back and you say, these are things that really shaped who am I today as a person. So tell us a little bit about those stories.
Oh, well, that's a wonderful question, Esther. I believe, you know, you kind of learn all through your life. School taught me the value of education and what it can do to you. I come from a very, very humble background. I never knew what it meant when my one-legged grandmother said, education fills an empty stomach. Today we know that as education eradicates poverty, but I didn't know it then. But she was the one who taught me that it is important to be well-educated. So, bless her. College taught me the value of developing a self-belief and a self-image. And part of this, when you come from such a background, is you don't know if you really can. So, I can is the self-belief that you build. And that is what college taught me. I did my graduation in mathematics, so I enjoyed doing that. Then I went to XLRI. XLRI taught me the value of working together and working smart. You've got to work with a lot of very, very talented people and really building a nice community. So I think there's a lot of stuff that I learned from XL. I also believe that your first job defines who you are. You really fall in love with your first boss as well, because there's so much of learning that comes to you. They always say, you know, you choose your company well, because that in some way will shape who you are. I joined ICI, Imperial Chemicals Industries, several years ago, and was taught by some very fantastic people. I had a gentleman, late Mr. Vinod Bahari. He was the executive director, very big man. And I still remember, you know, we used to be in this back of beyond place called Gomia, which is in the heart of the mining coal belt. And then the organization had an aircraft. The aircraft used to land on an airstrip, and I was in charge of the airstrip. Not a very big job, but my job was to make sure that there were no cows or cattle on the airfield, which is, you know, with the help of a couple of people, I used to do that. The aircraft then lands, then, the big man comes out. And I remember the first thing which I did was I offered to carry his bag as a mark of respect. And Mr. Bahari at that time said, "Carry your own bag. And young man, when I feel I am infirm and I need any assistance, then I will take that help from you." It had a lasting impression. He was one of the top professionals out there. And then and there I learned what it is to be carrying your own bag. So I remember that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And of course, you learn things about ethics. I still remember my first general manager, human resources. What a wonderful gentleman, a gentleman called Ganesh Jajurikar. He's currently in Bombay today, well retired. And I remember one time he said, I was in administration at that time. He said, "Nathan, can you organize for a plank because my bed is very soft and I want a plank on my bed." And all these are company properties, so I arranged for a plank and he had it. And the next day he said, "Are you not forgetting something?" I said, "Sir, I have the plank. I mean, I've confirmed that it has been safely put in your house and I'm sure that you have had a hard bed." And he said, "Young man, are you not forgetting something?" And then I said, "Sir, I do not know what you're talking about." And he said, "You must charge me for that. I would like you to give me a bill." And I felt that you learn ethics from people like that.
Yeah.
You don't have to go through programs. They teach you. So I've been taught by fantastic people. And then I had my HR boss was a very exciting gentleman called Ravindran G. Ravindran taught me the value of implicitly trusting people who are your subordinates to do a job and do a job well. I remember he used to throw loads of stuff at me. I didn't know anything about learning and development, and he trusted me with that job, and he says, "I know you can do it. Go for experiment." And I pretty much carried that because, if somebody reposes faith in you, then I think the level of commitment just kind of shoots up. So one more story I have is, in very early in my life, there's a gentleman called Captain Nautial. Part of my rotation of my job was to move through administration. I mean, this is a very bad word today because I was asked to look after guest houses, things like airstrips and of course, transport. And he was a man who taught me what it is to have confidence, courage. He always backed me, even in the best and worst of times. He was always around me. One thing that I learned from him very early was, this is the company which expects you to be in your Sunday best every day. And so I used to be very well dressed, but I never used to shine my shoes. For some reason, I was lazy. One day it rained. And when it rained, my shoes got cleaned. My boss at that time, he looked at my shoes and he said, "Hey, Nathan, your shoes are shining." And, I kind of, how do I tell him it's not because of me, it's because of the rain. But then, what I did the next day before I went? I shined my shoes.
Mm-hmm.
30 years later, I still shine my shoes. I still remember. He caught me doing something right. I will never forget him. And therefore, it's very important to catch people doing something right. And last but not the least, a gentleman called Sayyid Mohammed Zaki Hassan, our general manager personnel. What a tough man. What a nice man. I mean, if you want to know anything about fortitude and work through some of the worst strikes that we have had and carry a faith of conviction in the darkest of hours, I have learned that from him. Of course, he had some personal tragedy as well, but the way that he held himself is something that you learn. So those early stories of what you can learn in organization is something that I've always, it means a lot to me. I'm deeply loyal to the people that I work for and building relationships, lasting relationships. I really grew in a small town. It's in the heart of the mining district, as I said, Gomia. Taught me things that I'll never forget. Last but not the least, unqualified giving. I mean, it gave me so much. It never asked anything of me. So, Esra, I really got lost in your question. So let me start.
No problem. No, I think we are also getting lost in the beautiful answer. Well, I'm curious to know a little bit about your college times when you said that, you know, I learned the power of the I can. How that realization happened? Curious to know about, you know, what triggered that realization that probably was a very important foundation for a lot of the other stories that you shared.
I must make a big confession. I hope my wife is not on the radio today, or my children at least. I don't care if they are, but anyway, you see, I must tell you this. I was never good in mathematics. My family is a family where everybody gets sent up, which is 100 upon 100. And I used to totter around the 80s, and they used to think that I was a black sheep of the family. And by a quirk of fate, I couldn't get into engineering because my results came late. Long story, I went into Vivekananda College, Madras, and the only seat that they had was mathematics. And I was cringing. I said, no, not mathematics. Give me English literature, anything but mathematics. They said, okay, take Sanskrit. And I took mathematics. I remember the first day in class, that the professor, one gentleman called Ramachandran, he says, if you have come to this college, you will do exceedingly well in your life. And whether you like mathematics or not, by the time you finish your 3 years, you will be an outstanding student of mathematics. Somewhere, it's an introjection of some sort. I mean, I got it under my skin that I can do something. You won't believe it. 3 years, at the end of the whole thing, I was a gold medalist from my college. I really believe that this is something which was fantastic, and I hold that very dearly. I mean, if that really shaped this whole stuff about I can.
Yeah. So if you were to, out of all these learnings, and probably they're all interlinked with each other, but if you were to identify, you know, the top three ingredients or the top five ingredients that have made you successful and have made you be an impactful professional, not only at your work, but also in the community that you operate, what will those ingredients be?
I think the first one is certainly hard work. I mean, if you don't know your profession well, then I don't think you can succeed. I think you got to be very good with what you do. I believe in really thinking through big challenges. When big challenges come your way, it means there is an opportunity for you to showcase what you can do. So I think if there are big challenges that come your way, don't judge the nature of those challenges. Go ahead and take them on, because you will learn something in that process. I think it's very important to take those big things. Third one I would say is don't wait to be asked. Jump to things and seek opportunities. One more thing that I've learned is you've got to give more than you get. I think it's extremely important in anything, whether it's a relationship or whether this is working in an organization. Compensation for me is when somebody compensates you, they give you back for what effort you have put in. I think you got to give much more than what you get. Then, of course, the whole thing around the power of HP, what I call as the power of 100%. In anything that you do, give your 100% each time, every time. Because then there's an investment which is, don't do anything halfway home. You give that your best, and then things will pan out. And be very patient. Be very, very patient. I mean, I remember when I joined my company, they didn't promote me for almost 8 years. And I was a management trainee and then got confirmed. And nothing much happened for 8 years. And one time I almost wanted to go to my boss to complain, and then he called me in and he said, hey, I have some news for you. And they had double promoted me, And I look at the whole thing and say, life has a way of giving it back to you. So just be patient. So those are some of those things that I've learned along the way. And you have to be appreciative of what others do for you. You cannot run this race alone. If you fly, it's because you got some wind under your sails and they are not of your making. Others make it for you, so be grateful. So those are the few things that I would say.
Wonderful. Thank you, Nathan. Thank you so much. As you know, we are in conversation with SB Nathan, Senior Director and Chief Talent Officer, Deloitte India. I can see already some conversations happening on Twitter. We are waiting for your questions as well. So, Nathan, what is that one thing that you still struggle with as a leader? What are those things that, you know, challenges, and you're talking about taking them on and really embracing those kind of challenges? What are those things that you still struggle with?
You know, my biggest struggle is managing my time, which is really to say managing myself, not managing time. There are so much demands on it that, you know, your prioritization is absolutely key. I believe in the power of focus. Understanding that the moment matters. If somebody is sitting in front of you, can you give your 100% there? How do I toggle between the tactics and the strategic part of all that we do in our lives? And how do we give time to people? Because if your life is about doing a lot of stuff, we've got to discover talent. We've got to understand that there is potentiality that holds in people. So how do I find time, and how do I find the nugget that is somewhere lying around waiting to be picked? So how do we find, and if there is any rogue program that can get us find those nuggets, help people realize their potentiality. So that requires investment of time. And how do I still struggle with that.
Very good. So I think there's a question from the audience that's come up, and it's kind of follow-up question on this one. So if you were to narrow down the experience as an HR leader, maybe if you could identify, so the listener is asking, three key learnings in your human resources career that you want to share that has made you be a much more effective HR leader.
I think one of the first things about being an effective leader is listen more than you speak. Because what you do is you add life to conversation and conversations to life. You know, and it's very important to listen, because we almost want to hear people only to interject and give them what is on top of our mind. I think listening is very, very important. The second one is learning. And you can learn from everybody. You can learn from the person who just joined the organization yesterday straight out of school. You can learn from the person who holds the lift for you, or the person who cleans your car. You can learn from everybody, and life is lifelong learning. And part of that learning has got to be stuff that you would do both on the side which gets you to be better as a human being, but the other one is also about you've got to be on top of your job. So anything which is related to your job, you've got to find a way to acquire expertise in that. So, and in my life, I've done a few things. Much after I joined, I studied for almost 3 years in the field of law. I don't advertise that. I don't put that out on a piece of paper. I worked in the area of human process labs, T groups, and so on. And I've been doing that for over almost 20, 25 years. So life is a lot about learning. And third one is, how do you communicate well? Because part of our role is, how do you communicate well? Because that is going to be making an impact in the organization. people below you, people above you, and people who are your peers. So I think these are very important skills that one learns along the way.
Very good. Thank you so much, Nathan. And this question was from Sanjay Singh Negi, who's come from Twitter. So do you have a not-to-do list? Do you have something that you are consciously making sure that, you know, I will not get involved in these things? And what is there in your list?
There are a few things that are on my list, which says I have this habit of responding to each and every mail that I get. So sometimes I could be completely lost in that. I keep telling myself that we've got, you know, you've got only as much time. I don't know if it's a good thing or a bad thing, but that's one. I also realize that I have to stop worrying about things that are not under my control. And there are many times that I'll be sitting on pins and needles about things over which I have zero control. And so that's another one. There are two sides of me. One side is a highly detailed, getting into the smallest of details on one side, and the other side is a very expansive one. Is, you know, I don't fret the small stuff. I don't worry about it. How do I find that balance? What will you check and what will you let go? So I think I got to stop getting into every small detail. I think that's a very important part. In the beginning part of your career, you have to do it. So pick the ones that you have. I've also stopped. I've got to find a good balance to live my life with my wife and children. Family is very, very important. So sometimes I just got to stop feeling guilty about some few things that I keep doing on and off. I hope that guilt, I'm able to get past that.
Yeah, very good. So there's a question from Anupana Tajdev. She's asking, you've worked across industries, and she also at her own pinch, they're saying that this is not easy. It's not an easy thing to move from industry to industry, especially at the senior level. So she's asking more about what are the key learnings for you that have made you successful on being able to move from manufacturing to telecom to services to now consulting.
So, first of all, that's a very, very good question. Each industry teaches you a lot. I think when you move from manufacturing, teaches you what it takes. I mean, you get intimately involved with the business. It teaches you the value of each person along the continuum. So, manufacturing teaches you a lot of stuff. You have to engage with people who are not just at the top of the pyramid, but who are the people that matter the most, the people at the bottom of the pyramid, the workmen, and what does it take to building skills. So you really get to learn the nuts and bolts of that. If I move away from that and get into hospitality teaches you what is service management all about. How do you...
Correct.
What does it mean to take the phone on the before the third call that comes by, the small acts of courtesies, the small acts of kindness, the little notes of endearment that you address, the ones that in the moment make people smile. How do you do a retribution? You sometimes you fail. How will you recover so that you don't lose a customer? Those are the things that you learn, and then, how will you not make a... I mean, many of us are opinionated, and I'm no different, but one of the things that I learned when I went to the service industry is that this is where everybody counts, and you don't really have to be in the top B schools of the country. You have value at every point of intersection with a customer, and therefore, you learn what it is to work in organizations where you would have a person with the greatest of attitude may not have all the skills. How will you develop that? I learned that from the service industry. And, of course, telecom is an adjunct. You learn a lot about the business as well. Consulting is very nice because then you're working with are professionals, how do you bring the all your experience to bear and put the whole thing together? And part of our job is also how to manage the sensibilities, the egos of people. How do you make sure that you walk along and carry everybody with you? So there's a lot of things, and I could go on and on.
So we could go on and on listening to you as well, Nathan. And you would not believe it, but it's already 12:25, so we just 5 minutes to go, and we really want more and more time. Right now, for some of you who might have joined us in the middle of the show, we are in conversation with SB Nathan, Senior Director and Chief Talent Officer at Deloitte India. Nathan, our last question for the show, and there's some questions we haven't been able to answer, so we'll probably take those offline and make sure we answer them to our listeners. What is the advice you would give to your younger self?
Again, what a great question. I think one is I would tell myself that I've got to be a lot more patient. It's a long life. Your time will come. And there will be your place in the sun. Always give more than you get. Make this very, very important for you. As much as you think you're going to be working very hard, you got to take care of your health. Health is paramount. Find that time for yourself. The other advice that I would give is life is not about you. Life is always about others. So give more of yourself, not for yourself, but for others. Because in making others successful, I think there is greater joy. You realize part of this as you grow older, so that's the advice that I would give. And then the last one is let go. There are things that do not belong to you. You will always suffer the consequences of something that you have done. You pay a price, or you reap the benefits, but just let go, and then you will find you're more at peace. Seek feedback. I used to be so scared of feedback. Fear always kept me away from it. Today, if you ask me, I'm a lot more open to it. But those are the kinds of advice that I would give myself, a much younger self then.
Wonderful, Nathan. So thank you so much. It's been a fascinating show. I think we've not only learned a lot from your stories, but I think we've also discovered a lot of beautiful things that we probably didn't know about yourself. So it's been a fantastic pleasure. And thank you all our listeners for being there, like every Friday, first Friday of every month. It's a beautiful community we're trying to build. We hope you've enjoyed the conversation with Nathan today. So thank you so much, Nathan. Thank you for being such a fantastic guest today.
Esther, thank you so much. I appreciate you being on the line and asking those wonderful questions. And, of course, to all our listeners, a big, big thank you.
So thanks, each one of you as well. Live on air, we'll be here again first Friday of next month. And we look forward to welcome all of you. And as we close the radio show for today, as always, we wish you a great and inspiring day ahead.